You recently wrote an op-ed where you had a confession saying that you like Illinois. Why is that something that you need to confess? Is that dangerous ground for a state politician these days?
Well, we have to do something about the Illinois bashing that's been going on. Maybe it's because we have one-party rule here, and people think that Republicans think that it's okay just to have no incentive to say not anything nice about the state. But the fact is, Doug Whitley, head of the Chamber of Commerce, recently wrote a very interesting article talking about the assets that we have in Illinois. So I just wanted to make sure people were aware of them. We have a great educated workforce. People make more money in Illinois than all the states that surround us. Our taxes are lower than all the states that are around us. We have a great transportation system, probably the best in the nation, more interstates than any other state in the nation, the rail center, and 3 airport hubs. So these things are all very positive things for our state, and we should keep those in mind when we debate the issues.
You mentioned Republicans. Bruce Rauner, obviously the party's candidate for governor, uses the phrase often that Illinois is in a, quote, death spiral. Is that dangerous for Illinois?
He's not familiar with what we've been doing for the last 5 and now 6 years in the state of Illinois. Major improvements in everything we've been doing after the worst recession in the history of the states. Paying down bills, balancing budgets, cutting Medicaid. Somebody should tell them that we've already cut Medicaid. We've obviously passed a big pension reform bill that, if constitutional, will save a lot of money. We've done all these things. We've made tough choices, and he's apparently not familiar with that.
One of the reasons Illinois does get a bad rap is because of its finances. Much has been made of cuts that Illinois has already made, and yet there's still a backlog of bills in the billions of dollars. Obviously, you have come out in support of the governor's plan to extend the current income tax rate. What is the plan for that? Are you hoping for the House to call it and pass it first? Because it seems like previously the Senate has taken the lead on tax increase measures only to kind of have the tax football laying and it just drops in the House field and doesn't go anywhere for quite some time. What is the plan?
Well, we heard the governor say that he thinks that the temporary income tax should be extended. We've done this in the past. We've had actually 3 temporary tax increases in Illinois since I've been here. Governor Thompson had one in the early 80s, and then Governor Thompson had, which expired. Governor Thompson had a second one in the late 80s, which Governor Egger said should be extended. So just like Governor Quinn is now saying we should make the temporary income tax permanent, Governor Egger did that, and we followed his lead. But if we don't, there's a whole different budget that we'd have to consider, because there's such a big disparity between how much money is available if you don't have that extension. So that's the choice. We feel like the House should take this up first. We have more Democrats here who are supportive of the measure, so we'll wait and see what the House does. If the House doesn't decide to extend the income tax, then we'll have to work on a very draconian doomsday-type budget. But people then might fully appreciate what tough choices we've been making down here and how difficult our choices have been.
Was it a mistake to have passed a temporary tax hike in the first place versus just take a vote? It's a hard vote, but get it done, and then Illinois would have more stability going forward, know where the picture is, not have to face this possibility of draconian cuts.
We didn't know 3.5 years ago what the economy was going to be like today. We didn't know it was going to be a weak recovery, as it has been. You know, right now in the nation, every state has fewer jobs than they had in 2007. Even booming states like North Dakota and Texas, right? So we have not had the recovery that we expected. We didn't know that back in 2011. That's why we made it temporary, as we had in the 2 previous occasions with Governor Thompson. In one case, we let it expire. In the other case, we didn't, because we needed it. So that's what the debate. When we debated that bill back in 2011, I said, this is going away by operation of law. If there's not a vote to extend it or to come back with a different rate, then it'll go away. And that's exactly what we're debating right now.
But now your members are in the House as well, are put in this precarious position once again. It's 2 tough votes instead of 1 going toward an election.
You know, maybe it should have been 4.5 years so that it would cover a full fiscal year, because right now it expires midway in a fiscal year. But the fact is we get accused of voting on bills after elections. This time the governor's stepping up and saying, hey, right before an election, this is what we think we should do. Governor Edgar did the same thing. He said, as a Republican, let's keep the income tax not temporary, but extend it. Their Democratic opponents said, no, let it expire. And the Republican Governor Edgar won. So that's what Governor Quinn is doing here. He's saying this is what we need for a balanced budget. Our tax rates are still lower than all the states that surround us, including Indiana. Some people think that they're lower, but they have a local tax, which is actually higher. Indianapolis has a higher income tax rate than Chicago. So, and all the other states have much higher rates, as a matter of fact, for those people who make a lot of money, because ours is flat. Theirs is progressive. So this is what we should be doing right up front. Take a vote, see if it passes. And if it doesn't, you'll see a real doomsday draconian budget.
If it doesn't, that would be the case with supermajorities of Democrats in both chambers of the General Assembly. There also seems to be a holdup, at least Senator Lightford says in the Senate, there is not yet enough the votes to pass a minimum wage hike. The Speaker has said the same is the case in the House. Explain. Yeah. How with Democratic supermajorities, not just majorities, but supermajorities, is your party potentially unable, who knows, at this point, but how would there even be the possibility of not getting these Democratic initiatives through?
Yeah, most of the big successes we've had in the last 5 years have been bipartisan efforts. The Capitol bill was bipartisan. The pension bill was bipartisan. The workers' comp bill was bipartisan. The McCormick Place bill was bipartisan. Education reform is bipartisan. And unfortunately, the Republicans have decided not to participate in the budget. So this will be the sixth straight year they're not going to do it. They're hoping that they can elect a Republican governor, okay? So they're not cooperating. But we're talking about tax issues, which are very difficult issues. And that's why it would be nice if they would sit down and negotiate with us and work with us, but they're not doing it. So it leaves it all up to Democrats in an election year. So that makes it more difficult to pass a bill. But it's totally necessary when people realize that I don't think they want to have $967 million in cuts to education if we don't extend this tax and keep it the way it is right now at the same rates.